Yes, I like how you said that, Josh. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord, even crying babies or screaming babies. We praise the Lord for these little ones. As I mentioned to you, Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." What a gift. It's good to have a quiver full of young ones. It's a great picture to have a quiver full of arrows. Arrows you take out, you shoot them forth, you send them off into the future. That's a great word picture that the scriptures give to us. I want to add to that, how about a sound, perhaps, of parenting? As parents, you should also hear the sound of a ticking clock. You, dear parents, are on the clock. Each of your children have been entrusted to you by God. You have them for at least, Lord willing, 18 years. 18 years of their lives. And so you're on the clock. Started the day they were born. There is a lot to do. There's a lot to teach them. A lot to teach them. You have to teach them how to eat, how to sleep, how to talk, how to walk, how to dress, how to take out the trash and get a job and save for college and go to college and finally move out and all the rest. There's a lot to do. Don't get overwhelmed. It all comes in time. But parenting is a stewardship. It is an investment. It is a discipleship relationship. Your goal should be to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to the glory of God. Parenting is a task that is both incredibly difficult and incredibly rewarding. It is heartwarming, and at times, it's heartbreaking. It's a time of transformation both for the child and for you, the parent. God has much good that he wants to do in the child's life and in your life. This morning, I want to give you some words of encouragement in your parenting task. I want to tell you of something to look out for, something of which you ought to be aware of or beware of. Some of you parents, this is your first child. Others of you know what is coming, but let me tell you, sooner or later, parents, you are going to embarrass your child. And dads, it tends to be us who are at the forefront of that embarrassment and making the kids feel uncomfortable. Right now, when your kids are young, they think you are amazing, incredible, fantastic, smart, and even funny. But someday, that'll all begin to change. Your children will be embarrassed of you. Now, kids are embarrassed. They often feel embarrassed by normal parent behavior. But there are ways that parents can bring about the embarrassment. And children can be embarrassed in front of their friends or even their strangers, heaven forbid, by parents, things their parents do. One thing parents do to embarrass their children is retell childhood stories in front of their friends or strangers. That's embarrassing. Showing baby bath photos to maybe a new date or a coach or somebody like that. Yelling the child's nickname, Snuggle Muffin, across the gym or in a public environment. Or dancing at a kid's sporting event just to show you still got it. That's embarrassing. Or saying things about them in the sermon. Now, maybe that's just for preachers. Sorry, did I embarrass you girls? It's what we do. Another thing parents do to embarrass their children is trying to fit in with their friends. Another thing that parents can do is attempting to use modern slang. That is so sus when parents try to do that. You like that? The young people liked that one, not my children. The last thing I would say that embarrasses children is the telling of dad jokes. I love dad jokes. In fact, my kids even got me a plaque or a little sign for my office that says, "Dad joke loading, please wait." There's a little bar, you know, gaining strength. I love it. It's kind of a dad joke in and of itself, you know? So it's really great. But someday a time is going to come when the jokes will be more cringe than clever, and your children will be embarrassed by you. So while there's the real possibility, or rather I should say the inevitability, of you parents embarrassing your children, that is obviously not my main concern this morning. It happens, they'll get over it, you'll get over it. My main concern for you parents is not a matter of embarrassing them, but rather I want to talk to you about another negative impact that you can have upon your child. In all seriousness, I want you to beware of exasperating your child. Very real damage can be done to the precious little one whose heart that you hold in your hands, as it were, if you are not aware of the devastation that you can bring about by what Colossians 3:21 calls exasperation. If you haven't turned there in your Bibles yet, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul is closing out his letter to the Colossian Christians. He has spoken to them on doctrinal matters, and now he wants to apply that doctrine, and he speaks to practical matters. And in verses 18 through chapter 4, verse 1, he describes what is known as the household codes. The household codes are specific commands that are given to different members of the household. He speaks to wives, husbands, children, and to parents. This shows us that Paul is concerned for helping every member of the home, and the home is to be a place where God is honored. And God is honored in the home when it functions properly, when it functions according to his design. Notice verse 20 of Colossians 3. The Apostle Paul says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." It's interesting that Paul first starts out by calling out the children. This is not something that would normally happen, apparently, in the first century. Children are just kind of things that are owned, and they don't really have a personhood or whatever. But Paul here says, he talks to the children. He says, "Children, here's what you need to do. You need to obey your parents." So I want to tell that to the children in our audience today, but my point is to draw attention to the parents, and so let me apply it to you parents. If Paul says, "Children, obey your parents," that means that your call is to instruct your children. Your call is to correct your children. You are commanded here to be an authority in their lives. Don't shirk that responsibility. Don't hide from that authority that you have. Parents, you are to tell your children what they are to do. Childhood, one man said, means dependence and ignorance. Dependence and ignorance. Your child depends on you. They depend on you to know what is good for them. They don't understand that Pepsi and Pop Rocks before bedtime is not a good thing. There's ignorance. They need to understand you should look both ways before crossing the street. There's a lot that they need to understand, and so therefore, parents, you need to command them. You need to instruct them. You need to help them. Teach them to obey. J.C. Ryle wrote a really helpful little booklet called The Duties of Parents. And in it, he says that parents ought to train children in the habit of obedience. He says, "Parents, determined to make your children obey you, though it may cost you much trouble and cost them many tears. Let there be no questioning and reasoning and disputing and delaying and answering back. When you give them a command, let them see plainly that you will have it done." And he adds, "You must not wonder that men refuse to obey their Father, which is in heaven, if you allow them, when children, to disobey their Father, who is upon earth." End quote. Parents, you are not laboring to build a home centered around the child, or what we say is a child-centered home. After visiting the United States in the 1950s, Edward Duke of Windsor said, "The thing that impresses me most about America is the way parents obey their children." Ouch. I wonder what he might observe if he came to America today. Parents, you're not laboring for a child-centered home. You're laboring for a God-centered home. God must be the center around which everything finds its focus. His priorities are to be predominant there in your home. His word is to be spoken there in your home. His will is to be done in there in your home. His ways are to be lived out there in your home. And his blessings, therefore, will be evident there in your home. The next verse really is what I want to charge you with today in your task as a parent. I want you to beware of the devastation of exasperation. Look at it in Colossians 3, verse 21. Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." The text here says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Really, the word there can be translated as parents. It's translated as parents at other times in the scriptures. But fathers, you are the head of the home. You are responsible to lead your home and to guide your home. However, that doesn't mean that this command wouldn't therefore apply to both parents. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, nor mothers. You likewise should not exasperate your children. Paul is saying, as you parents rule over your children and instruct them, and as you children are to obey your parents in all of these things, don't rule over them in such a way that exasperates them. The word exasperate means to irritate. It means to provoke or embitter or aggravate. Don't irritate them like smoke in the eyes. Don't provoke them as someone would kick a hornet's nest and provoke hornets. You could even use the phrase stir up. Don't stir up children to anger. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." It provokes anger. In that verse, a person is provoked to anger because of how they were spoken to. Paul says similarly to parents in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Exasperation occurs when a parent causes a child to be provoked or embittered and driven to anger so that they feel resentment. Resentment, as you know, that's that mixture of anger and hurt because someone believes they've been mistreated or they've been wronged. Exasperation will cause that resentment. It will be that anger and that hurt. And then it will come out either with a silent fuming or an outburst of anger or ultimately in external rebellion. Now, we shouldn't get it wrong here. Children are responsible for their actions. The command just said, "Children, obey your parents." This is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's not that children aren't responsible, but parents, you are responsible to care for these little ones. Don't be like smoke in their eyes. Don't provoke them to anger like kicking a hornet's nest. As MacArthur said, you can paraphrase this as stop nagging your kids. Parents, don't exasperate them. Paul tells us why in the second half of the verse. Verse 21, again, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." To exasperate your child, to anger them and frustrate them and irritate them will result in a child losing heart. What is it to lose heart? To lose heart is literally to be without passion. It's to be despondent or hopeless. A child who loses heart loses courage. They lack motivation. They feel defeated and discouraged. They give up. They stop trying. Because parents nag them and correct them for every little wrong or every little imagined wrong, and then they begin to lack passion. They begin to lack drive. They're so dominated. They begin to think, no matter what I do, I can't get it right. They begin to think they can't please their parents. And so they become like a wrinkled, deflated balloon meandering around the living room floor 2 weeks after the birthday party. They're just deflated. They've lost heart. Paul wants Christian homes to be vibrant and to be healthy and to be flourishing. He doesn't want to see the children in the home disciplined to the extent that they lose heart and give up on trying to please their parents. The sharp child is going to realize sooner or later it's better just to stay away or not do anything. This really is a sad picture here of a child who has lost heart. Dad and mom are proudly upholding the perfect appearance and right discipline in the Christian home while the children are smoldering in apathy and resentment. It's only a matter of time before the home collapses in frustration. The mirage will burn off like the fog in the late afternoon and will reveal the hurt and the misapplication of God's will for the family in the home. I think you want to avoid this sorry state where you exasperate your children and they lose heart. Well, how can you avoid this? You can avoid it by learning ways in which you can exasperate your children. So this morning I want to give you 10 ways that you can exasperate your children so that they lose heart. Now, obviously, I'm not telling you this so that you will exasperate your child so that they lose heart. I want to warn you. I want to warn you on things that you ought to avoid. And, of course, you want to be doing the opposite. The first way you can exasperate your child is this. Constantly find fault. Constantly. Constantly find fault with them. Parents, you are to instruct your children. You are to correct your children. That is what you do. If your child engages in a sinful action, you need to correct them. If your child expresses a sinful attitude, you need to correct that. You need to do that. However, as parents, we need to be careful that we do not become the perfection police. We need to be careful that we're not nitpicking at everything. Children will mess up at everything. And it's easy for us as adults with eyes to see all these different things that have gone wrong. It's easy for us to find an issue in everything and therefore to offer critique and find fault in everything. We have to be careful of that. We have to be careful of critiquing or even condemning our children. They'll begin to believe that we as parents are never really pleased with them. But sometimes we need to just let things go. Sometimes there are things that are just childish, and that's okay. Sometimes we need to let the children mess up when it's safe to do so and not correct them. Just let it go. Do you remember the first time that you tried something? Maybe the job that you're in. You're good at it now, but do you remember the first time that you tried to do that? It was horrible. It didn't go so well. Your children are doing doing something for the first time for a really long time in their life. They're not going to be good at it. They're going to get it wrong. They're going to get it backwards. They're going to get it upside down. Sometimes you need to just let it go. Because if you constantly find fault in your children, you'll exasperate them and they'll lose heart. Secondly, a second way that you can exasperate your children is to give inconsistent discipline. Discipline needs to be consistent. It needs to be consistent for it to be meaningful and for it to be effective. You don't want to be inconsistent in it. This is very hard to do. I admit that. You know that. But if a mom and dad are not on the same page about behavior, that's confusing to the child. If there is an infraction that is overlooked 3 times, but the 4th time you come down strong on it after never having said anything, that's going to be confusing and can exasperate your child. Or if Monday it was a problem, but Wednesday it isn't a problem, that's going to confuse the child and exasperate them because it is inconsistent. Let the child know that you're consistent, and when you call something out, you mean it, and you're going to do it. But you're going to help the child along the way to understand what that is and how to grow. But if you want to exasperate them, just be inconsistent and really be unpredictable. They're not going to know what to do. That's going to exasperate them. Number three. If you want to exasperate them, discipline out of anger. Discipline them and do it out of anger. James 1:20 says, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Discipline should always be for the benefit of the child. It's easy for us to correct children or discipline them when something we find is inconvenient to us. And we can get angry. But we need to labor for the good of the child. When we discipline in anger, we have a tendency to over-discipline. We correct too much. Maybe our volume goes up. Our tone strengthens. And we over-discipline. When we over-discipline or discipline out of anger, then the correction can feel like a personal attack on the child. You're correcting the behavior that the child's engaged in, but it can feel like a personal attack. And the discipline, therefore, if you discipline out of anger, it'll feel like revenge. You're coming after me because you don't like this. Watch out. Don't do that to Dad. Boy, howdy, you better watch out. No, correct them for their good. And don't do it out of anger. Be gentle in your discipline. Maybe you need to take some time to go get a gentle heart and then address the child. But if you discipline them in anger, you may end up exasperating them, provoking them to anger. Number four, you can exasperate them by showing favoritism. Showing favoritism. Isaac and Rebecca had twin boys. And Isaac favored Esau. He was the hunter. Favored him over Jacob, but Rebecca favored Jacob over Esau, and they knew it. That caused problems. And then Jacob, he grows up and he has sons, and he repeats the same problem of favoritism, and he gives one of his sons a beautiful coat that he doesn't give to any other son. And how does that turn out? You embittered the rest of the boys. They were angry, and they sought to do away with Joseph. We're thankful that God in his sovereignty overruled that whole situation and brought about good from what had happened from Jacob's favoritism. But parents, don't show favoritism. Don't compare one child to another. Every child's different. I think you know that. Every child is different. Don't make them feel as though they aren't as good as another sibling that they're not like. Don't make them feel that they don't have your favor. That's going to be exasperating if you show favoritism. Number five, you can exasperate them if you allow them too much freedom. Too much freedom. We all think we want freedom. Let me do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it. But you will exasperate your child if you give them and allow them and permit them too much freedom. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." If you allow too much freedom in the home and not enough discipline, the children will perceive that they are not loved by you. You just let them do whatever. The world may think that if you discipline them diligently, it shows that you don't like them, but if you let them do whatever they want, that shows that you love them. But that's not the case. Freedom from constraints equals a lack of love. Love is shown by constraints. Love is shown by commands and by laws. God gave us the Ten Commandments not because he hates us, but because he loves us. He says, this is good for you, so don't breach this commandment, or things are going to go real bad in your life, and you'll face God's judgment. So you can exasperate your children if you just let them go, do whatever in the world they want, by allowing too much freedom. Number six, similarly, you can exasperate them if you don't allow enough freedom. This is the corollary to the previous. If you do not allow them enough freedom, or any freedom, and you fence them in and suffocate them, and deny them any measure of freedom, they will hate that. An overprotective parent shows that they don't trust their child. They're saying, I don't trust you, and so I'm not going to let you go there or do that or have this privilege. And then the child understands, my mom, my dad don't trust me, so why should I even try to be trustworthy? Or why should I do these responsibilities? You're going to send the message to the child. If you don't allow them enough freedom, you're going to send the message to the child that, hey, you stick around here for a while, but wait till you turn 18. You're gone, and then you can start living life. Then it's liberty. Then it's freedom. You don't want to send that message. You want your children in your home with enough freedom to understand what is good and what they can enjoy, but also you want to develop them and help them mature in independence. You don't want them to be dependent upon you for their whole lives. You want them to grow in independence, and you want them to develop your trust. Remember, Jesus said in Luke 12:48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. You want to give your children opportunities to earn your trust. Of course, within reason, within what you think is wise to do, but give them opportunities to earn your trust and prove themselves and just mature as a human being. You don't want to allow too much freedom, but you also need to allow enough freedom that they're able to grow up and mature and understand how to live this life under God's will. Number 7, you will exasperate your child if you criticize your child. If you mock them, if you call them names, if you ridicule them or whatnot, you're going to exasperate them. Now, I think we have to admit life is funny and kids are goofy. And they're going to do goofy things. They're going to get it wrong. They're going to do it backwards, upside down, all the rest. They're going to do those silly things. And some things happen in the home where the whole family gathers around and we laugh at whatever brother or sister did. And it's just sort of funny. But there's other times that maybe you see a fault there as a parent and you can poke at them. Maybe call them a name on something that they messed up on. Or mock them. Parents, you shouldn't respond with mockery or ridicule. You especially shouldn't call them names and label them. You know that your child has shortcomings. You know if your child's an athlete. You know if your child's gonna do real well in school. You understand these things. So as you see those shortcomings, whether it's intelligence or athletic abilities or physical features or coordination or whatever it is, you watch for those and you care for them. You don't criticize them in their weaknesses. You make up for their weaknesses and you help them grow as they experience or endure that weakness, whatever it is in their lives. One man said, a child learns what he lives. If he lives with criticism, he does not learn responsibility. He learns to condemn himself and to find fault with others. He learns to doubt his own judgment, to disparage his own ability, and to distrust the intentions of others. And above all, he learns to live with continual expectation of impending doom. Parents, your goal, your main goal should be to draw your children in repentance and faith to the Lord. You're not going to do that if you criticize them. You don't criticize them into repentance and faith. Paul says in Romans 2, it was the kindness of the Lord that's meant to bring us to repentance. Show them kindness. Kindness leads to repentance. If you criticize them, call them names, ridicule them, you're going to end up exasperating them, and they will lose heart. Number eight, another way that you can exasperate your child is never admit you're wrong. And whatever you do, don't ever ask for forgiveness. We all make mistakes in our parenting. Sometimes we make decisions that are just, well, they're pretty dumb. Or sometimes we do things that are actually sin. We win against what God's word says. And our children are going to be the recipients of our lack of wisdom or outburst of anger or foolish decision or whatever it is. So what we need to do at times, we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that and confess to our children, and at times even seek their forgiveness. Our children need to understand that we do make mistakes, that we aren't perfect. And just like we're calling them to repent of their sin and go after Jesus Christ with all of their might for all of their lives, we need to show them that we too sin and fall short of the glory of God, but we too are trying to repent and follow the Lord Jesus Christ with everything that we've got. If you never confess your sin or you never seek their forgiveness, either the child will think you're perfect, and they'll learn sooner or later that you're not, or they just sense your pride. Is that going to grow humility in them if they see your pride and your self-protection? Because as you know, parents, the older they get, they're going to see the mistake that you made. No, that was a bad idea, but you keep a stiff upper lip and you're never acknowledging that at all. And they go, that's an odd thing. Why doesn't Dad bring that up or mention that? They're going to develop that same self-protection as you have. But instead, what if you go to them? You say, you know what? The other day, when I yelled at you for breaking that thing that you shouldn't have broke, that was wrong of me. Will you please forgive me for having sinful anger towards you? What's that going to do to the child? They're going to see your example of humility. They're going to see that just like you said, you have a Savior who's the only one who's perfect, who forgives you, that they should follow him too. That they can find forgiveness if they follow your Savior. If you never admit that you're wrong and you never ask forgiveness, you can exasperate your child. You can embitter them and they'll lose heart. Instead, why not show them you have a Savior? You make mistakes. He forgives you, and you're going to forgive the child even as there are consequences for their disobedience. Number nine, a ninth way that you can exasperate your child, don't affirm them or encourage them. Don't affirm them, don't encourage them at all. You'll exasperate them. As I mentioned before, it's very easy for us as parents to focus only on what's wrong with our children and not offer any encouragement. There are things that your children do that are really good. Have you told them that? Do you say that to them? Do you bless them? Pastor and author Sam Crabtree wrote a book called Practicing Affirmation. And he says this: we need to make commendation of the commendable a way of life. When was the last time you encouraged your child for something you saw them do? Maybe they took out the trash when they weren't asked to. They finally did it. You say, hey, son, I'm really glad you did that. Thanks for serving our family. Our family really needed that. You did it without me asking. Thank you. Maybe even, as Sam Crabtree talks about, maybe even if the child has done something wrong, you told them not to play with the ball in the living room, yet they did, and they broke the lamp, but they come to you. And they say, Mom, Dad, I broke the lamp. I shouldn't have done that. What should you do? First of all, say, you know what? I'm really thankful that you came to me. That shows a lot of humility that you came to me first to tell me what you did. And you know what you did was wrong. I appreciate that, son. There still are consequences. But you showed some humility there. Or if your daughter serves in some way that she wasn't asked to, you go to her and say, you know what? Just like Jesus, you served. Jesus was a servant, and you were acting like a servant. That's like Jesus. Sam Crabtree says, good affirmations are God-centered, pointing to the image of God in a person. So children need to know what needs to be corrected, but they also need to know what they're doing that's right and is good. And maybe that they themselves have a special gift for. You're really good at that. God gave you that. And I want to see you grow in that. What's that going to do to the child? It affirms them. It strengthens them. It encourages them. But if you don't encourage or affirm, you're going to exasperate them. And what's that going to do? Going to lose heart. Going to give up. Number 10. 10th and final example. Painful example is this. Fail to show affection. If you want to exasperate your children, don't show them affection. Don't do it. Children need to hear from their parents words of encouragement, words of gratitude. Children need to have the physical touch of their parent, a gentle hand on the shoulder. If we fail to show affection, it results in that common regret that you hear from adults. I never heard my dad tell me, I love you. You've heard that before. Maybe you've said it before. Nobody says it in the context of a joke. It's in the context of regret. John Newton said this, even he was the great hymn writer of Amazing Grace and preacher. He says, I know that my father loved me, but he did not seem to wish me to see it. Don't let it be where you say, I know my dad loved me. Don't let your children say, I know my dad loved me. He just didn't really tell me. You don't want that. Is that the way it works with you in your Christian life? You know God loves you, but he just never really wants you to know that. No, Paul says in Ephesians 3, verse 17, he says, he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that you would know all the dimensions of the love of God for you in Christ Jesus. Therefore, parents, make sure your children know that you love them. If you withhold that, you're going to exasperate them. You're going to provoke them, and they're going to lose heart. I read an article where I got a lot of these 10 ways to exasperate your child. It was called 25 Ways to Do It. I read some other articles that had more ways. There's probably 125 ways that we could provoke our children to anger. I want you to know that there's grace for you, dear parent. I want you to know there's forgiveness for you, dear parent. As parents, we mess up so much and we get a lot of things wrong. But there's grace. There's forgiveness from the Lord. What is your home like right now? Or what do you want your home to be like? Is it a good place for raising children? There was a poet named Dorothy Law Nolte who wrote a poem titled Children Learn What They Live, and she talks about the influence that we as parents have on our children. And she writes this, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. Dear parents, the clock ticks. What will your children learn in your home? What do you want them to learn in your home? Yes, your children will someday be embarrassed by you. They'll get over it. You'll get over it. It's normal. That's fine. But you don't want them to grow embittered by you. That could be devastating. As you embark on this parenting stewardship and this with this new little one, may God give you the grace to embody the gentleness, the firmness, the love, and the wisdom of Christ. Dear parents, do not aggravate your children. Invigorate your children with a passion for obedience to Christ. Dear parents, don't irritate them. Inspire them to live for God's glory and even take the gospel to the nations, regardless of the cost. Don't provoke them to anger. Provoke them to holiness. Don't exasperate them. Fascinate them with a vision of the greatness and the glory and the goodness and the grandeur and the grace of God in Christ, because you marvel at that Christ and they're watching you. That's what you need to do, dear parents. Parenting is a tall task. We cannot do it in our own strength. We need the Spirit of God to help us. But dear parents, take heart. Take heart. Remember his mercy, and that it is new every morning. Plead for God's grace. Find hope in the help that he provides, and get after this important work of parenting, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. Oh, Father in heaven, lover of souls, protector of our lives, we desperately need you. I ask that you would please bless and assist and show your mercy and give wisdom to these parents who stood on this stage today. Pray that you would bless Eli and Bella Braden, and Daniel and Elise Casterjohn, Paul and Julia Goltvenitsa, Vlad and Olya Goltvenitsa, Dan and Ashley Loudermilk, Alfredo and Jada Ojeda, Chris and Renee Shore, Cody and Audrey Thomas. I pray that you would help them. I pray that you would strengthen them for the task that they have ahead of them, however long that you would allow life for that child. Pray that they would depend not upon their own strength, but they would depend upon your Spirit to supply them with every grace to accomplish every task that you've called them to. Oh, Father in heaven, I also want to lift up the other parents that are amongst us this day, many that are just in the thick of it. Some are towards the close of the time when their children are in their home, and still others that the parenting years are over. Oh, God, I ask that you would please help us as we feel many times we have failed as parents and truly sinned as parents. I pray that we would find forgiveness for each of those failures. I pray that we would have your grace that covers us in Christ, have your strength to propel us to correct what we've done wrong, to show humility and seek forgiveness where we need to, but also step up and plan and push forward and lead as we ought. Oh, Father, would you help us as parents? Children are a heritage, and we want to raise up a godly heritage for you, oh God. So please enable us to do that, so you get all the praise and we get the joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.